by Clive Coleman, starring Jeffrey Whitehead, Lorelei King, Harriet Thorpe, and Alistair McGowan.
I do apologize for being late. I dashed out of a hugely important production meeting for this award-winning television program that it is my curse to have to host. Just had time to don the old penguin suit, jump into a cab, et voila. But I want you to know, I wouldn't have missed my old college chums for Peter Hall's 65th for the world.
For the third time, sir, I can't let you in without an invitation.
All right, sonny. Hang on, there's Placido Domingo. Perhaps you'll listen to him. Placido! Buenas noches! Brian Melvin, Harding about. We met at Glyndebourne. Well, not at the opera, near to the opera. At the service station. Then we were both filling up, your chauffeur and me. Mucho unleaded. We laughed about it.
Lo siento, no me recuerdo. Excuse me.
And people wonder why I'm a Eurosceptic.
Mr. Jagger, Miss Hall.
Hey, man, where's the head honcho's bash?
Oh, hold on a minute, Nick. Your lip's caught in that dress again.
It's to the doors and to the right, Mr. Jagger.
Just wait a moment. You don't mean to tell me you're letting them in? What earthly connection have you got with Sir Peter Hall?
He's directing the vid for our new album. We're going for a totally, like, new audience.
What's that? Age concern?
Oh, a nasty man.
Now, don't get angry with the little people, Miss. If there weren't the little people, hey, there wouldn't be big people.
Perhaps you ought to leave, sir.
Brian. Is that Brian Melvin?
Rebecca. No, it couldn't be.
It must be, what, 30?
32 years exactly, on August the 10th, or somewhere around then. You look, well, wonderful.
Thank you. Are you on your way in?
I'm sorry, Mrs. White. The gentleman's not...
It's all right. Mr. Melvin's with me. Goodness. It's been so long. What are you up to these days?
No, I work for an arts program. You probably see me on the box.
No, I don't think so. I don't get a lot of time, you know, what with Martin writing and my own writing.
Yes, Britain's premier literary couple. I followed your successes in particular. Well, I've read your books. Historical romance, they're tremendous. Is Martin not with you tonight?
No, he's not with me most nights. I think he's with his American publishers. Or is it his Italian agents? I don't know. These days, he tends not to tell me.
I tend to be free much of the time. If you're ever at a loose end, give me a call.
Always the gentleman. Time hasn't changed that.
I have an evening class in intermediate pottery in a couple of months, but I should be able to juggle things.
Tell me, are you...
Married? No. Very much not. Not a wife in sight.
No, actually, I was going to ask you if you did any writing yourself these days.
No, not for a long time. Can't remember when I stopped. It must have been around, 32 years ago in August, somewhere between the 9th and the 11th.
Perhaps that was why.
The inspiration seemed to dry up for me. I don't know. I sometimes feel it'll flow back. I think maybe I can feel a little trickle tonight.
But let's not think about that tonight. Let's just try to forget the past and enjoy ourselves. It can't go on. It just can't go on. Will somebody please tell me what is so wonderful about Melvin Bragg?
Hair?
I'm sorry, Kim?
It's his hair, for me. I've always liked his hair, you know. It's it's nice and thick, isn't it? You know, but you wouldn't describe it as wavy.
He's managed to ensure that the South Bank Show announces the Booker Prize shortlist again this year and that he hosts the programme.
What happened to our bid?
According to the independent adjudicator, arting about isn't hip, happening, dynamic, intelligent, or incisive enough. It's terribly nitpicky.
Who is he?
I've got no idea. Simply signed himself M. Bragg. I suppose we might as well watch the program.
Oh, turn on the TV, Tim.
All right.
Hey, Brian, aren't you going to watch?
The Booker Prize holds no allure for me, Ellis. It's the publisher's fad and fancy masquerading as literary achievement.
Okay, I was just asking.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, the books shortlisted by our judges are The Edible Armadillo by Ngiki Takabaki, a mythical retelling of the spiritual life of 1950s footwear. Paraphrase and Exaltation by J.S.F. Tyra, Power Politics turned into folk dancing on a day trip to Lefduke. Bert Mandelson for The Electric Oxbow Lake, the follow-up to his novel of greed and corruption in a Welsh mosque. The film, An Emptiness of Known Fundamentalist Groups, a courageously unrepentant novel by Salman Rushdie. Delia Man and the Cumbrian Shepherdess, a work of unrivaled passion by the reclusive literary master, Mel Bragg. And finally, Time's Wheelbarrow by Martin Furness, the story of a British optician discovering his conscience, written diagonally on the page with a narrative style in which time moves sideways.
Furness!
Brian!
That fraud, that emotional cripple.
Hey, Brian, I thought you didn't care who was on the shortlist.
I don't, just as long as it's not him.
What have you got against Martin Furness?
Nothing. But when I finish with him, he'll need another 20,000. £1,000 worth of dental work.
What's eating him?
I don't know. But Brian's not the only one who's angry. I can't continue to let arting about lose out to the likes of the South Bank show. We need some new blood. Someone high profile. I have to tell you that I've arranged to meet Tony Naylor this evening.
What?
And I'm going to ask him to join arting about.
Oh, Tony Naylor? The enfant terrible of the new right?
I know he wrote a critical piece on that item you did for our gentler sex night. What was it called?
Lorraine Bobbitt, tackle terrorist or feminist freedom fighter?
Didn't we cut that?
Shut up.
Tony's news. He's happening. The truth is that the show needs someone like him.
Geez, Tim, it's 20 to 7. I'll be late for the play.
I think Brian's still working, you know.
Brian? Working late? What, is he doing it for a bet?
No, he's worked late every night for the last 3 weeks. If he's working really late, I go cat-sitting for him. Yeah, it's not bad, actually, you know. People knock him, but you get a lot of good common sense from cats.
Hey, better check he's all right.
What are you going to see?
Oh, it's part of the Shakespeare the Woman Festival. Tonight, they're doing Juliet and Juliet. Now, be sure to lock up. I gotta fly.
See ya.
Oh, golden summer of my very young, youthful heart that was also boy. Each silver dawn, which was like a silver plate or smaller utensil. In the morning, where the sun should have been, I woke, a young Athenian youth, and youth-like, I spoke involuntarily, and because I couldn't help it. Your name, my Rebecca. Oh, God.
You're right, mate.
Oh, Tim. Oh, yes, it's fine. Just working, you know, for the show. You off?
Oh, I don't know. You can work so hard, Brian. Come 5 o'clock, I need to sit down and a sherbet dip or I'm finished. Yeah, what's that you're working on?
No, nothing worth reading. Running order for next week's program. Can I have that back?
Come on, Brian. I'm not stupid. This isn't a running order. Listen, Brian, has some all-powerful and big god of love decreed that my very name is an anagram of brain? And that I should always use my brain to think of you, my love. God, that...
All right, it's my writing. It's really not very good, just something I feel I have to do. Here, give it to me and we'll forget all about
it. But it's brilliant, Brian. There's so much pain and suffering and love in every line. It's dead moving.
You're very kind, Tim. Do you really think it's moving?
Breathtaking. Mm. Really, yeah. It's, you know, it's stream of unconscious, internalized, you know, picturesque, trans-Freudian fourth-person narrative. Mm. Yeah, it's my favourite, is that. Mm. What inspired you, Brian?
Love, hope, betrayal, creativity stifled. You say you actually sensed the pain.
How are aching, Brian? Aching. You've got to tell me the whole story.
Oxford, 58. Sharing rooms in Wadham with Martin Furness.
The novelist?
Novelist. In those days, he couldn't write a shopping list without my counsel and advice. We were closer than brothers, full of hope and dreams, wedded in our art like Wordsworth and Coleridge, until she arrived. Rebecca Wyatt, the most delicately beautiful woman I'd ever seen.
I know Rebecca Wyatt. She writes them historical stories set in the past, doesn't she?
We fell in love, briefly, gloriously, but oh no. Furness couldn't stand to see my joy. Happy as I'd never been before, I was in the process of completing my first novel, A Portrait of the Painter, Painting as a Young Painter.
Good sight, mate.
Martin told Rebecca I was seeing another woman. He stole her, Tim.
It's not right to steal, especially people. But I'm really sorry.
The only woman I could ever really love, taken from me by a man I treated like a brother.
What a lousy wazzick, eh? Martin Furness, spurning brotherly love.
They married. I never published A Portrait of the Painter, Painting as a Young Painter. That year, crammed full of my ideas, Martin Furness's first novel won the Whitbread. As a writer, I became blocked and started to drink.
Drinking while you were blocked, you must have been in a lot of pain.
Furness became Mr. Sexy, a fashionable novelist. And what happened to me? I stopped writing and became a presenter on Arting About. Do you know what it's like having to spend your life as Rolf Harris when you know you could have been Vincent van Gogh?
What, you mean dead? Oh, no, no. Yeah, well, I suppose it's a bit, Well, I don't really, actually, no. Mm.
I saw her again, Tim, recently, that tedious birthday bash that Peter Hall drove me mad to go to. She was more magnificent than ever. Her eyes were, well, how can I describe them, like opaque, lustful balls of golden cornea.
Wow.
Mm. For the first time in years, I feel that I want to write again for her, for me. It's futile, I know, but I want to write our story. Maybe then she'll realize that there's never been a woman to hold a candle to her.
Brian, you've got to publish this, mate.
No, Tim, it's too personal.
But you're one of the lucky few, aren't you? You've got a gift, Brian. You can't deny that to the world.
Have you read the so-called modern critics?
Thank you.
Look, Melody Barker in The Independent on some new book. A bathtub of bilge in which this deformed literary tadpole displays moral decay, sexual impotence, and perverted inner evil of Satan's insane earthly grotesques. If she can write things like that about a book called Caravan Maintenance, what hope is there?
Brian, look, it'll be different with your book. Promise me you'll publish it.
I don't know. Maybe there is some hope. I'm putting my toe back into the water, taking it slowly.
Good.
I've joined a writing group on a Wednesday evening for a little support.
Okay, good evening, everybody. It's good to see so many writers here tonight. And you are writers now, all of you. Whatever anyone else says, remember that. Now, a new member of the group this week, it's Brian here.
Hello.
Now, don't rush things, Brian. I'm sure the group looks forward to collectively empowering Brian to bond with them. But in the group's time, not Brian's. Now, the group is here to evaluate and support, okay? So, Magda, you've been working on another poem, haven't you? I know we'd all like to imbibe the waters of your lyrical labours. Magda's poem. Yeah, in your own time, Magda. Magda.
Oh, wait, it's not finished yet.
No, I thought it was very good.
Oh, you've really got something, Magda. Beginning of something really...
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Let me underscore that. Amanda, hug Magda. Come on. It's very strong, Magda. It really is. You know, it's an emphatic opening.
Really?
Mm.
Well, I just suddenly had this idea. A cough. And I just couldn't stop writing. I think it encapsulates the difficulty of starting. I mean, that's what it's about, really.
Excellent work, Magda. Well done. Richard.
Yes?
Let's hear some of your short story.
Right, well, it's a silly, frothy little thing, really. It hasn't exactly got a title, but I call it My Bus, the Killing Machine. It looks like a bus that takes people to work, but it kills and maims and crunches bones. It's a big red friend to me, my bus on which I ride. I hate Lisa Stansfield. Oh, here's my... Stop.
Your influences are religious, aren't they?
No, they're...
No, yes, they are. They're religious. Or something else, very markedly, definitely. Now, Brian. I believe there's an autobiographical element to your novel, isn't there?
Yes, a little. Forgive me, I'm a little nervous.
Oh, for goodness sake, get on with it, Brian.
Well, this passage is from the middle section where the narrator has lost the woman he cares for above everything. Are you in the air? I can't see air, so you could be in it. Or part of it that is also invisible like the rest. I feel you all around me, and so I'm at peace. I do not care that you are far away with a perverse, poisonous, pen-pushing pig who will be punished. I'm not sure about that last alliteration.
No, that was breathtaking.
Really, do you really think so?
Yes, I do.
Beautiful. And you've written so much. It wasn't so much the content as the amount that I found really
good. Clearly is the work of a very accomplished writer, Brian. A very accomplished indeed. So perhaps you'd like to teach the class, Brian. Is that what this is all about, eh?
Gosh, it's so vibrant, Tony.
Yeah.
What if you see someone's using one of those pneumatic drills? I wish they'd turn it off and start the music.
Yeah, that is the music. It's a mega remix, killer drag bait in your face, sense around techno dance division.
Catchy title. Everyone's so fun.
Yeah, well, to these kids' ages, an irrelevant psychological subculture with the internal logic of a Kleenex.
Really? Yes, I suppose it would be.
See, that's the beauty of rave, Camilla. We're all co-workers in the pleasure infrastructure. The kids don't notice any age difference.
Oh, excuse Granddad, isn't it? Yeah?
Yeah, great sense of fun, too. Dance?
Oh, love to. Oh, Tony, some child's running about on the platform.
What?
Come over here, darling, we'll find Mummy.
Shut up, Camilla, that's the DJ. Stand the Lego Man, Postman, Pat Milton, Biscuit Machine.
He can't be more than six.
Yeah, well, it's doing a very short set.
I love the world. I want to hug every living thing.
Yeah, keep flying the mind kite to the funk biorhythms.
Get lost.
All right, negative positivism, like that. Double it and burn it.
Touch, Tony. That's really why I wanted to talk to you. Arting about needs a voice like yours. Bold, provocative, passionate.
Art in a bout. But you bending the system mark coffee table tweet.
Oh, you've seen the programme.
Lamented it as a middle class altar upon which creativity's death is worshipped. I'd rather vomit into a metaphorical car blanket.
Well, we know we've got to pep things up, and you'd be on national television 3 times a week.
Though, in a sense, the programme's defects are its restated unspoken merits.
Precisely what I've been trying to tell our viewers for years.
Can curtains sing? Do skirting boards have souls? My God, you really have got talent. You appreciate Daddy's talent, don't you, Gielgud, you clever kitty? I'm working. Who is it?
Brian, it's me. Rebecca. Huh?
Oh, Rebecca. Come in. Why didn't you call? I mean, doesn't matter. I'd have delashed the couch and put some cushions on the cat. Let me take your coat.
Brian, I'm sorry to call on you like this. I'm in rather a state, I'm afraid. You said any time, and well, I didn't feel I could talk to anyone else.
Really? I'd always wanted you to be able to turn to me. What is it? What can I do?
He's finally gone and done it. Oh. With his Canadian agent. That little tart with the huge advances. He's left me, Brian.
Oh, Rebecca, I'm so sorry.
I don't know why I'm surprised. I've suspected for years, but I just kept telling myself he loved me more.
What advice can I give you? What advice can anyone give you? You've got to take your time, reflect, and then divorce him immediately.
You know, I think it was his writing that attracted me. I never really saw the man. And the irony is, he never wrote about me. I was never his muse.
Fine writing can stir the soul. Do you ever... Oh, yeah, it was a long time ago, I know, but the letters I wrote to you at college.
I always tried not to think about them.
Of course.
Obliterate them, banish them totally from my mind, comprehensively eradicate them.
You were married in the circumstances, it was the right thing to do.
Brian, I'm afraid that I'm making an awful fool of myself. You've been so kind, you always were so kind, I better go.
Oh, why not stay? For a while, a year. Gielgud's taken to you already.
Actually, I think I might be allergic.
He was a stray originally. I'd been meaning to return him to the streets. He'd love it after 8 boring years with me. Look, what about a drink?
I don't think so.
I've got Glenfiddich, Black Label, JMB, Teachers, Bells. If you prefer a soft drink, that's fine. I've got lager.
But I'd like to. No, I can't. I'm sorry, my mind's spinning. I'm finding this all a bit confusing. Goodbye, Brian.
Okay, but let me help you, Rebecca, when you're ready. As the rain nourishes the thing which is nourished by it, she reinvents and compliments and is really, really great.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Brian. I don't follow you.
Brian, where have you been for the last 2 weeks? I've had to cover 4 production meetings for you.
I've been finishing it. My novel. A long look back behind, but not in anger, but in love.
Oh, cracking sight.
Yeah, you were right, Tim. I am a great writer.
So you're going to publish it, then?
The manuscript's with Hodder, Hodder, and Hodder as we speak.
Oh, I'm dead pleased for you, Brian.
You don't know what it's like to write, Tim. It's like being able to fly. At last, I feel that everything's within my grasp. And now that that creep furnace has left her, I even think that Rebecca might be mine.
Yeah, right. She'll be pretty irrational, won't she?
I want to win her through my words. I've worked it all out. She's a woman drawn to a man's writing. I know that much. I'm publishing A Long Look Back Behind, but not in anger, but in love, under a pseudonym. I've arranged to have it reviewed on the Arting About Live Roundtable Review, with me in the chair and Rebecca as guest reviewer.
Oh, I'm with you, Brian. That is brilliant, that. She reads the book, recognises it's about her, falls for the author, who then reveals himself and claims her.
I triumph first as a writer and then as a man.
Ace.
Tim, my bounty is as boundless as the sea. My love is deep. The more I give to thee, the more I have, for both are infinite.
Oh, that's really nice of you, Brian. Thanks, mate.
I'm talking about Rebecca. That's from Shakespeare, you cretin. Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, we did Kess for GCSE, actually. Hey, Casper, where's your kit, lad?
Think, Tim, think. Oh, sorry, that was tactless. A lifetime as Mr. and Mrs. Brian Rebecca Melvin Wyatt.
Yeah, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
Verily, thou hast spoke true.
'Tis pity she's a whore.
Don't push it.
Tim, did you take a message for me earlier?
Yeah, I wrote it on a post-it.
All right. You say it was a German with gray hair.
Yeah, that's what he said, aye.
Could that possibly be Germaine Greer?
Yeah, it might have been, yeah, yeah. Does he sound a bit like a lady? I didn't like to ask, you know, you don't, do you? Swears like a trooper, man, made me blush.
Yeah.
Jim, Ennis, may I formally introduce you to our latest recruit from the coalface of popular culture, Tony Naylor.
Oh, all right.
Tony is to be given roving creative powers. He is to be, how can I put it?
Allowed to reinvent the program's form, structure and content.
That's it. Tony's ideas are my ideas. He has them first, and then I do. So, what do I want to do to the round table review?
Well, it's a cucumber sandwich begging to become a street fight. It's too cosy, too glib. I want drama, conflict, critical napalm, don't you, Camilla?
Yes, I do. And, remind me, how was I going to achieve that?
Obliterate the old panel. Now, I've booked Flann Harlin.
What, the Irish poet? The man's a nihilist. You know what that means, don't you?
He collects rare insects.
He hates everything.
Look, don't worry, Ellis. I'll be on the panel as well.
Oh, no.
Anyway, look, there's no such thing as negative nihilism. If we're destructive, we'll get people switched on, yeah?
Camilla, I'm a bit worried about this destruction line. It could be very destructive. There's a delicate new novel, right? Surely the feelings of the author ought to be considered.
It's settled, Tim.
Yeah, but, I mean, journalistically speaking, should arting about be morally culpable for damaging a novelist's first creative oeuvre?
Tim, you're with us on a youth opportunity programme which we've extended for budgetary reasons. I am delighted you are taking an interest, but don't.
Oh, there you are, Brian. I've been looking all over for you.
Seek and you shall reap, Tim.
Yeah. I've got to talk to you about the review. Tony Naylor's on it and some other bloke and all. Now, don't get me wrong, Brian. Your novel's brilliant, like, but these critics are, you know, well, they're tough.
There's no need to fret, Tim. Critics are critics. In the end, they are all at the mercy of quality and style.
Well, look, be careful. And look, I'm not saying you will, but if you do need me, I'll be around.
Tim, you're a brick. And I'm not just saying that. I do think of you as literally a brick. There'll always be a place for you, not with Rebecca and me, but somewhere and always in my heart. Good evening and welcome to Arting About. Now, joining me tonight are poet and critic Flann Harlin, music and culture journalist Tony Naylor, and historical novelist and wife of the errant and immoral writer Martin Furniss. And recently and without shame left her for a Canadian literary agent. She is the incomparable Rebecca Wyatt. A new novel is always an exciting event, and tonight I anticipate will be no exception. A long look back behind, but not in anger, but in love, meanders seductively through the themes of love, betrayal, stoicism, and ultimately hope. It is written with infinite guile by the previously unknown writer Salmon McEwan Amis. Let me go out on a limb here and say that I thought this was sensational. Flann Harlin?
Well, I have to say that this is tepid, puerile, dishwater bottled of champagne. It's a negation, a mean-minded and cynical denial, a wake, a near-death evocation, not just of postmodern love, but of all life and creativity in its conscious and unconscious states.
Pardon?
It doesn't do or say anything. It's stultifying, patronizing. The narrator is a buffoon, obviously unconscious of his comical inadequacy.
But it has some wonderful moments, Tony Naylor.
Well, I started this book determined to like it, but this piece of old tat is the ultimate challenge to open-minded affirmation. It's a self-conscious slap on the back for puppyish, middle-aged indulgence. It's got all the drama of a raw plug.
But the sheer quality of the prose is surely outstanding.
Oh, I thought the author was not only uneducated, but he was uneducable. You know, he had...
All right, you've had your turn. Rebecca Wyatt, a hymn of hope for the romantic in man, or simply a work of brilliant insight?
I have to say that I think Harlan and Tony are quite wrong.
Quite right, they are.
This novel is bad in a far broader and more dangerous way than they seem willing to acknowledge.
In a sense, I suppose you're saying it is outstanding.
Not at all. I detect a hugely dysfunctional person at the centre of this.
The female character to whom the narrator devotes his life, such a woman would surely be...
Very worried.
Mm. Well, come on. Come on, you're all wrong, all of you.
Yeah, and what does Salmon McHugh and Amos mean by a passage that begins, "The heart is a lonely hoover"?
Well, isn't it obvious? I'm talking about love. About how I've always loved Rebecca.
You wrote this, Brian. Of course. The letters. I should have known.
I can't believe it. This advanced guide to emotional constipation is yours.
Yeah, well, why don't you shut up, you misguided mental pygmy? You wouldn't recognize class if it punched you in the gob. I'm sorry, Rebecca. I shan't trouble you for very much longer. It's terribly unprofessional for a broadcaster to walk off a live show, but that doesn't seem very important now. I'm sure Tony Naylor won't mind wrapping up the discussion without me.
Okay, dear.
Rebecca, I'm so sorry. Who could have possibly known that Salmon McHugh and Amos was a pseudonym? I had no idea how strongly he felt. I've dismissed him summarily. It's the least I could do. He's taken his things and gone. Well, which way did he go? Towards Tower Bridge. Do you want me to have him arrested? It's terrible writing, I agree, but do you think it merits a criminal prosecution? The bridge. Don't you see? Brian's terribly vulnerable at the moment. Brian, stay where you are. Don't jump.
Rebecca, please, don't make this difficult for both of us. I'm not going to jump. I've come up here to be alone and to write.
I love you, Brian. My God, what's in your hand?
It's a pen.
Brian, put the pen down. I repeat, put the pen down.
Alone like fishes who are singular.
Come on, Brian. I don't want to use that pen. It's all clear now. The past doesn't matter. Now I see you as a man, not as that talentless, aspiring writer.
Well, not that talentless, surely. Rebecca, don't climb up here. It's dangerous.
Martin always said that you loved me. I think I only married him because he could write so wonderfully, and your letters were so stupid and clumsy. We used to roar with laughter at your metaphors. I can't try and forget those letters.
Roar with laughter? You mean that you're willing to spend the rest of your life with me, even though you think of me as a literary buffoon?
That's not important right now. Just promise me you'll never write another word of that ridiculous prose, and we can be together.
Not write anything? Not even a short story?
Not even a short sentence. That's not too big a prize, is it? For me.
Aren't you making rather a big thing of this?
You have to stop. We can't have people laughing at us every time you put pen to paper, darling. Here, my love. Pull me up.
All right. Give me a hand. Ah, there we are. Nothing to worry about.
Brian, I'm soaking.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Sorry, darling. You should have taken my writing hand. It's much stronger. There should be a boat along any minute. Catch you at my next book launch.
Here in the Gate star Jeffrey Whitehead, Alistair McGowan, Harry S. Thorpe, and Lorelei King, with Felicity Montague and Kevin Eldon. The music was by Marie Gold. The show was written by Clive Coleman and produced by Paul Schlesinger.